And a very, very warm welcome to the Solara Star podcast. Today is super, super special for many, many reasons, which you'll see as we go through. Today, we're going to be diving into something that I found deeply activating. And I have a very, very special guest with me in the studio, as you can see. And I'm going to do a full intro to Naz as we go. But today is all about how to activate, connect to, reclaim that wild sensual energy that fuels manifestation. So today we're going to be talking all about desire. And we're not talking about the tidy, kind of socially acceptable, your buttoned up cardigan and your knee-high socks type tidy or socially acceptable. We're going to be talking about something that really wakes up your system. Something that will almost leave you feeling in a nice way, like you've put your finger in a plug socket, but positively awakening and activating. And this is the type of desire that I've connected to in other ways before, but I've never tied together the power that this desire has when we bring it in the way only Naz can explain when it comes into manifestation. And I mean true manifestation. So Naz, we met first of all on, well, actually it was a friend, Naz, wasn't it? A mutual friend that was raving on about you for ages, about you as a person, about you and your one-to-one coaching. And I was very, very intrigued. And then life's got a funny way of kind of unfolding. And we ended up crossing paths on a psychedelic integration coach training course. Naz was on the faculty there. And I thought this is definitely meant to be. You know, when things just unfold in certain ways, you know that it's definitely a path. And I've been on quite a few of Naz's courses and a course that she co-facilitates with Rachel, and I've done one-to-one coaching with Naz. And I have to say, and you'll see this for yourself, Naz is the warmest, wisest, loveliest person that we can have guiding us in this space. And it's not the have it all together, not been there, having risen from the ashes and been on her knees at times. It's real and it's raw, game-changing stuff. So with all of this in mind, a very warm welcome to the podcast, Naz. I'm so happy to have you here. We're just going to start with, if it's okay with you, telling the listeners a little bit more about you and why you're so passionate about helping women, which this information we're going to share is going to be helpful for everybody, but specifically why you're passionate about helping women.
Oh, thank you for such a gorgeous introduction, Solara. I could feel my eyes welling up then. I'm like, don't cry within the first minute. I'm deeply emotional and very connected to my tear ducts. So I'm going to hold that in my heart. That was a beautiful introduction. So thank you. And I am incredibly passionate about helping women because, you know, women have a particular set of conditioning. And not saying that men don't, men also have a particular set of conditioning, but as a woman and having found the keys to unlock some of my patterns and truly fall in love with my life, like I really, really, really love my life, I just felt like, how could I not share what I've experienced? And, you know, as a coach, you do teach the path that you know, right? You don't teach something, you don't share with others, you don't tend to have a niche or a specialism that you haven't fully experienced. And I just feel so well equipped to help women, to stop them from self-sabotaging, to help them stop playing small, to really connect with parts of themselves that they didn't even know were there. Right? I feel like when I look back on my life in my early 20s, I was having a lot of fun, and on paper it was amazing. You know, I was traveling the world. I had a PR and events company on one side, and I had a retreat company on the other, but I felt like a complete imposter, and I felt like I wasn't good enough to be doing what I wanted to be doing, and I felt like something wasn't right. And when I finally cracked the code, my relationship improved with my now husband. I launched my own business. I retrained as a coach. I started just following my true desires, right? Not what I thought I wanted to do, not what I thought was acceptable. I didn't even realize that I was doing that, that I was living somebody else's values. So it's a very long-winded way of saying that I'm just helping women to shortcut my experience, I hope, and like give them the keys and the tools to, you know, to wake up to this one beautiful, incredible life that we have.
Oh, I'm feeling emotional as well. I'm very connected to my tear ducts as well, just so that you know. But everything that you say, and it absolutely rings true. Have you ever had it when people say, well, you're a coach and you should have it all together? And it's like, you know, I've been down there with the ugly, the downright messy, and it's what helps me to really understand and connect to the challenges that people are experiencing, but not just connect to them and sit there and swim in them, to actually help them climb out of those holes. And that's something, like, it was a few years ago that I started with you one-to-one. I started with doing a one-to-one coaching course with you. And I have to say, it was the biggest game changer for me in that I love the language that you use. It's very, very relatable. I was very, very grounded. And it was ever since then, basically, any course that you've had, I've been kind of like a little meerkat, just poking my head above the water. If it kind of water or ground, if it aligns, I'll do it. But yeah, I can absolutely be testament to everything that you've said. And no doubt there's been times, Naz, that you've wanted to give up and throw the towel in. That's just something that's come to me. And I'm so pleased that you haven't. And there's been many times in my journey that I've wanted to do the same. It's just felt so difficult, because when another layer is exposed, it feels big, it feels unfamiliar. And then as part of our old identity starts to fall away, that severing can be very painful too, as we then starting to step in something new and unfamiliar. And we know it's right, but we haven't quite embodied what we need to live in there comfortably yet. So your work is incredible. The work you do on your own, the work that you do with Rachel, please check out Naz's website. I'm going to put it in the show notes. I cannot rave about it enough. And of course, a couple of years ago as well, you also did a festival, Wellbeing at the Lakes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Probably one of the best I've been to, like real upper class boutique, high end, high value type experience. So thank you so much for that. Must have taken a huge amount of effort to have put all of that together. Anyway, back to this now. So when it comes to desire, I'm going to just give a little bit of background as to why I thought this would pique the interest of our listeners. When we were on one of our live calls a couple of weeks ago in the current course that I'm doing with you and Rach, you led us through an exercise, and it was all about tapping into your raw, unsolicited, unapologetic, unadulterated desire. And just between me, the pen and the paper, no one was listening in, which kind of created that safe space to be able to really explore it. It was just to write down everything that I want to experience, that I desire, that I would love to do more of, whatever it might be. And I was actually noticing that the more I was writing, the more I started switching on. So the metaphor that I think really helps to explain the power of desire is, you know, we are the lamp with the 100-watt light bulb ready to shine as bright as we like, but we haven't plugged ourselves into the electricity yet. And sometimes this is why our manifestations may not work. We have everything that we need, but we haven't plugged ourselves in. And it's the energy of desire that I noticed not only plugged my lamp in, but I was literally beaming up probably the whole of the UK, if not beyond. And it was in that moment I was like, wow, this is the activator. This is what I feel is potentially one of the missing links in manifestation. So thank you for that, by the way, because it was just so beautiful. But let's start with that desire then. So what does desire mean to you? And why would you say it's like a vital part of our process?
Such a juicy topic. I love that we're chatting about this. Okay, so first of all, desire, I'm sure people who are listening are thinking, what, you know, desire, is that just about sexual desire? Like, we link it together. And of course, there is that connection between the erotic, eros, and desire. But erotic energy is life force energy, right? There's no separation. It is so incredibly powerful to have that coursing through your body, because you feel alive, right? When someone is turned on to life, or turned on sexually, let's use it, and people can, you know, imagine in their minds that they're turned on, you feel very different, right? You feel alive, you feel connected, you are deeply in your body, right? You cannot be turned on without involving the nervous system. Mm-hmm. Okay. So desire for me is life force energy. It's tuning into what it is it that you truly want? What would turn you on? And it doesn't matter what those desires are. When you're connecting to a state of desire, you can desire anything that you want. It could be that I desire to have, you know, a beautiful man feed me grapes on a whilst I'm lying on a sun lounger on a Greek island, right? That's the kind of like classic desire. It could be I desire to have 14 miniature donkeys that come and greet me every single morning and I get to cuddle. Like, I desire to have huge amounts of wealth that I get to redistribute. Like, if it's something that turns you on, we're getting somewhere. We're just starting the engine. Like you say, you get the electricity running, and then you get to use that energy for whatever it is that you want to manifest, right? Whatever it is that you want to deliberately create. We're talking about manifestation here, is to bring something into reality. And why it's so important for women to recognize the power of desire is that we have been taught to cut off from it, right? We've been taught actually to be cut off from our sexuality and our desire, right? How many women over the age of 45 feel like they're dead beneath the waist, right? Mm-hmm. And that it's just part of becoming older, perimenopause, menopause. It's not true. It's part of our conditioning to cut us off from our power source. If you look at history, the most dangerous women were branded harlots and whores. Mary Magdalene was called a whore. Lilith, the goddess, you know, she was completely and utterly and Eve as well, thought to be, you know, bad, sexually promiscuous or in some way corrupted. That's because they had their deep connection to their erotic energy. So as women, we're taught to almost shame our desire, our sexual energy, but also if we're cut off from our sexual energy, we're cut off from our libido, our erotic energy, our life force energy. So it's a tricky one, because women feel like they have very, like you say, polite, socially acceptable desires. So that exercise that we had you do was actually from Kasia Urbaniak, who's an incredible woman. She's a Taoist nun and a dominatrix, and she teaches about power and desire. And so that exercise was based on one of hers, where you actually allow yourself to put pen to paper and to just write down everything that you desire, every naughty little, like really digging deep, getting into your bad girl, sexy, kinky boots and writing down the things that you desire, not because you're going to act on them, but because you're connecting to, like, you're allowed that forbidden fruit that you are tasting when you write down those, you know, those explicit, juicy desires is telling you something about what you're missing in your life. And instead, as women, we're like, no, I'm not allowed to desire that because I can't have it, right? I think one woman on the program said, well, if I truly had what I desired, my husband would leave me because I want to sleep with a lot more men, right? And all that meant to me, and I had a good discussion with her, all that meant to me was that she wanted some sexual reinvigoration in her life, right? She's been with this man for over 40 years, and she wanted to, you know, juice things up a bit. And that's entirely possible in a long-term relationship, but it was getting a bit stale. But she's allowed to fantasize, but we don't let ourselves, Solara. And this is where there's so much untapped power, as you discovered. I mean, you've been working with the law of attraction for goodness how many years, and you've written books and you teach on it. You're super advanced. And yet this little key for you, right, has unlocked a whole new source of power. Like it's the well of libido, that life force energy, is limitless. It's utterly limitless. So when you are open to that channel, it's like, how good are you willing to have it? It's one of Cassia's questions. How good are you willing to have life? I can tell you that a lot of women, when they try and answer that question, are like, I don't think I'm allowed to have, I'm not allowed to have it. It's selfish. I'm going to be thought of as bad. Like, it's layered with so much complexity. Yeah.
And I think I'm just seeing if I can find a book that was recommended on one of the podcasts as I was kind of exploring, as Nick and I were both exploring deepening our relationship. And of course, we open up to all sorts of interesting conversations and teachings and, you know, which taps a lot into the work that we did a couple of weeks on the course, which is probably why it spoke to me so loudly. There's this one book, I might need to see if I can find it. I'm wondering if you've heard of it. My Secret Garden.
I have not. Ooh.
Now, it's an interesting book. The reason why it was recommended was for women. I mean, men and women listen to it. I love learning about all sorts. And the reason why it was recommended is to actually learn the desires that women have that we don't openly talk about for fear of shame, for fear of ridicule, for fear of judgment, all similar things. And a lot of it plays into, you know, some of the systemic structures that you and Rach speak about on the course too, the ways of controlling and suppressing, of course. But when I started listening to this book, it was like, wow, like there's so many examples from anonymous women all around the world talking about their deepest, darkest desires. Now, I found it a very interesting process because although I didn't relate to all of them, you know, it was just, there was a few that I did. It was like, wow, okay, so why aren't we talking about this? Why is it such a taboo subject? Why are we suppressing this so much, but also then bringing it from a more kind of personal into a more personal perspective? It was like, actually, I'm not bad. And actually, I'm not wrong. And actually, this is normal. So reading, listening to a book like that has helped give me permission to tap into that raw part of me that is filled with limitless desire, and but without that element of shame. So it's relatively new in some respects, because it's been so suppressed for so long. I'm just curious your thoughts on what is the higher agenda? Now we're going to go a little bit down a rabbit hole here. What would you say the higher agenda of keeping the feminine energy so suppressed is? Big question, I know.
I know. Wow.
Sorry.
Well, patriarchy has been at it since the beginning of its existence, right? Women in their power are magnetic. Women are natural leaders, right? We're dangerous to the patriarchy. We're dangerous to those structures of control because actually we don't need them. We don't exist. We don't need to exist in them, right? There is obviously frameworks and structures for all systems, even matriarchal systems. But the patriarchy, I think, is terrified, and the masculine is terrified of this power that women have because they don't have it. Okay, the masculine, males they're not able to create life in the same way that we are, right? They provide something essential for us, but essentially we are magicians. We create life from nothing, right? In a space. We can grow children in our wombs. We can do that. We are creatrixes. We can create things from nothing. We are dangerous to those structures that rely on dominance and power, white heteronormative agendas, ideologies. You know, as women in their full power, we see how destructive those are. And let's face it, the patriarchy also doesn't serve men or most men. It serves those in power. It serves those who are benefiting from its structure. But all the rest of us, right, would deeply benefit from having the feminine leading in this way. And I think that's anything that is of threat to structure is going to be demonized and vilified, which is why women's knowledge, witchery, right, midwives, witches, it was completely, and women were burnt at the stake for having knowledge and power. So there's a reason that we don't allow ourselves to tap into that. It's because our ancestors were killed for it, right?
Yes, so there's, and there's Yeah, so there's like there's a remembrance, right, on a soul level, even though we may not consciously be aware of that. There
well,
is
it's
a remembrance.
Cellular level. It's epigenetics. It's in our cells, right? And the thing is, the more generations you're separate from it, actually gets stronger. It doesn't lessen. So there's deep work here to undo some of this patterning. And I think it's our time. We don't need, as women, we don't need patriarchal structures anymore. We don't need the patriarchal contract, which was, we'll give you our life force energy as women. We'll have your children. We'll stay faithful to you. And we'll do the unseen labor in return for safety and security. Right.
Yeah,
that's the patriarchal contract, but we don't need that anymore because women are choosing not to have children. They're choosing not to get married. They're building their own wealth. We don't need the patriarchal contract. We can marry for love if we want to. We can marry another woman if we want to. We can marry any kind of gender if we want to. But it's, see how it's that in itself is deeply dangerous to the patriarchy.
It's very deep. Like that word is, if I had a highlighter pen and you could highlight a word, it is deep and deeply dangerous. You're absolutely right. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about the journey that Nick and I have gone on the last 4 or 5 years around in the masculine and feminine, and him being and stepping more into his conscious masculinity, and how, you know, the awakened man, whatever we want to call it, and the awakened woman, if you like, can very, very much complement the journey tenfold, in that bringing elements that either of us don't have to the table to create a formidable force, which isn't just stable and protecting, but it's fiercely creative and flowing. And when we can bring those two elements together in ourselves, of course, but then also in relationship, that's when I believe a lot of these patriarchal structures, they collapse and they create space for the rebirthing of that more divine union. I wanted to find another word then, but it kind of came in and went out. But yeah, so that divine union. And that's where, you know, I'd be very interested to know your thoughts on the masculine and feminine energy through that lens then, from within. We had a brief chat about it before we came on air. Like, if I'm just in my feminine, I get absolutely nothing done. I have a great time, but the house is completely messy. No one gets fed. Everything just goes absolutely wild, which I tried for a while. I called myself flaky at one point because I felt like I kept having to cancel everything because I was just had no organization at all. This is just a, you know, very surface example for a deeper conversation, of course. But then when I brought in some structure and I brought in, you know, just 20%, just having some way to hold the container of my kind of chaotic feminine energy, that's when I started noticing actually things started changing in every way, in my business, in my relationships, in my health. So I'd be interested to know, through the greater lens that we've been speaking about, but also bringing it to a micro level within ourselves, your thoughts around that. Again, a big question.
I love the big questions, Solara. I'm all about the big questions. Yeah, so I fully get what you're asking. And masculine energy is vital for us as women to bring in that masculine energy, to understand it is a union of the two. And I'll talk about it on an energetic level, and then I'll sort of talk about it practically, if I may. So if you imagine the yin and yang symbol, which is the black and white, and it looks a little bit like a flywheel, you can kind of see there's a momentum there. If you just had the masculine energy pushing, that flywheel would burn out, which is what happens in real life, right? And if you have just the feminine energy, which is the receiving energy, which is the surrendering energy, it would lose momentum and then it would grind to a halt. You need both. You need the masculine force of pushing forwards, of direction, of action, and of strategy to give the flywheel momentum. And you need the feminine surrendering. She's there. She's got presence. She's got weight. And I'm talking about the energy, not the gender. That feminine energy is there to kind of slow the masculine down, receive it, surrender to it. So when it comes to practically, how do you manage the dance between masculine and feminine? It is about being conscious. Like sometimes I know that I'm like, if I'm fired up and I'm energized and I'm got something to pull out of the bag, which I like to do to myself, then I'm going to be, I'll have relied on my feminine energy to be creative, to come up with some crazy idea. And then I hand it over to the masculine energy with me to do it. That Naz who's like really methodical, and it has learned to be a bit disciplined. I'm like, right, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this done. So if you can imagine as well, as a great metaphor, is if feminine energy is like water, it's like a river, right, flowing. If you don't have a bank, if you don't have a masculine structure, that river is just going to go whoop, and burst its banks, and it was no longer going to be a river. It's just going to soak into the ground. Mm. So it is really understanding what these different energies are about and when to lean into your feminine and when to lean into your masculine. It's a dance, essentially.
Yeah.
And when you get it right, it creates this flywheel, this sort of spiral. It's not just turning around in a circle. It's actually turning upwards. It's lifting you up. As well.
Oh, I love that. Mm. What a lovely little visual. Yeah, and I think that this is such an important conversation that it has so many branches. You know, like the wisest, oldest oak tree, there's just so many questions that come into my mind that we can explore within this. And it's a subject of great interest to me from my own beginning of understanding, you know, my core energy, which I believed for so long was masculine. My dad wanted me to watch the cricket with him and drink my non-alcoholic beer while he was there with his beer and short hair. And actually it was round about, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, I was already doing this work for some time, that I looked at a lamp that I got from Laura Ashley. And I was like, that lamp's really pretty. I was like, why haven't I noticed that lamp before? And it was pink and white and beautiful roses on it. It was in that moment that I started awakening to my femininity, although it's been a very long journey of kind of getting the rigidity of that kind of masculine that I'd been so well conditioned into. And so ever since then, it's been like this beautiful opening. But it's now looking back, I think I was so closed down. I was so rigid, 8 in the morning to 10 at night, 6 days a week, pushing, forcing, trying desperately to create something for my future, a safe container for me and my daughter. My dad had modeled what wounded masculinity was on an amazing scale, bless him. He did really well at that. As a result, I attracted so many relationships which mirrored what I was used to and accustomed to, of course, and in step Nick. And he's not only restored my faith, but actually opened my whole world to a complete new paradigm of what is possible. And ever since he has done more work on himself and becoming more conscious in his masculinity, my energy feels so safe that I feel surrendering isn't something I feel I have to do, I must do, I should do. It's a natural process. The safer my nervous system is feeling with his riverbank containment. And what I'm noticing within that is I'm no longer connecting to that part of me that is wanting to push force, but actually beneath that, I was so wounded, needing to be seen, needing people to see my value, my worth, rescuing loads of people, actually, because I was crying out that I needed rescuing in the meantime, but also people pleasing, like on levels I never even knew I was even doing it. Imposter syndrome, the stuff that I can relate to with you. So what I've noticed is as this balance, this yin and yang, this really beautiful, a divine connection and union, one can't exist without the other. But when both wounded, it's very destructive. Mm. When both are on their healing journey, it's very connective and creative. So as I'm witnessing that within my own life, it's been scary because I've seen so much of that old paradigm that I had worked so hard just collapsing, but not having any energy to do anything about it. Mm. At all. So tired and wrung out like a sponge. And, you know, and that's what's helped me to understand this journey, helped me to understand that our nervous system, it can't cope with it like the masculine nervous system can cope with it. We feel anxiety and fear 20 times more than the masculine energy. And we need protecting from a lot of the stuff that we're not here to hold. Mm. And when that masculine steps in and we are able to surrender and we're protected from that, the growth that I'm witnessing is so much better than I've ever could perceive possible. It's a bit strange in some ways, but the magnetism does become more effortless. But what I'm noticing, and this is kind of circling back to our beginning conversation, is desire is awakening within me, Naz, that lay dormant. I couldn't even start it like an old Skoda. You know, like I just would flood the engine multiple times, no doubt metaphorically. But as a result of this and the safety of my nervous system, there is life in my inner garden. Sounds a bit interesting. That I didn't even know. Wild flowers and blooms that I didn't even know existed. So with that in mind, this is where I believe that that desire really has come in for me. And I would love to know, is that something that you have experienced or in a different way, or you notice and witness?
Yeah. So you're talking about a few things there. So I'm lucky, like you, or not lucky, I chose my now husband. I recognize something in him that he's very much embodies. I call it the high masculine, that sort of really noble, beautiful, generous, protective, kind, gets stuff done. I mean, he wants to build me a house. I cannot tell you, this man is like, wants to provide. He's my magic man. So, and you know, we've been together 23 years now. We've gone on a journey together, much like you and Nick have. And as I've been on my journey, Norbert has been on his own journey and is open to doing his own work, which has allowed me, like you, to heal my nervous system. Because one thing I think that is true is that you will only manifest, so bring into reality, the desires that you are, yes, an energetic match for, but that your body feels safe to contain, right? You may desire something incredible and be connected to it, but if your body, if your nervous system is like, I'm not going there, it's not safe for me to hold that much energy, it's not going to allow you to have it. So that's where the sort of self-sabotaging patterns come in, right? And this is where, you know, people get to a certain level in their life, in their business, with their manifestations, and then they hit this limit, and it's because it's not safe. It's not actually safe for you to have that. So there's this, what you've spoken about is, you know, you felt safe in your system because you had this beautiful masculine energy that's there to hold you, and therefore you could peel away some of the scarcity and those old layers and stretch into having more capacity. So the body doesn't recognize the difference between good energy because you've just won the lottery and you've got £100,000, or bad energy that your house has burnt down and you need to you've lost everything. Doesn't recognize that one is bad and one is good. It just recognizes that level of energy. So we've got to train ourselves. We've got to expand our capacity. We've got to take low stakes risks, stretch ourselves, take mid stake risks, and then start to like lean into the trust, right? There is a bit of that surrender. You just mentioned surrender, but the feminine will never surrender unless she's safe. Never in a million years. It is her choice. She doesn't surrender. Like, people think it's some sort of passive, the feminine is kneeling down to the masculine. It's like, no, I feel so safe because I am completely in charge here. I'm going to surrender and I'm going to let you, you know, hold me. It's that. Mm. So the energy of the universe, I believe, this is my perspective, is masculine. It's a provider energy. The universe is abundant. The universe just wants to give us, that the intention is to give us what it is that we desire. And all we do as humans, especially as women, is we put up all these blocks as to why we can't have the things that we want. Mm. And it's like, it's, when you think about it, it's utterly insane how difficult it is. We make it for ourselves.
And that's why I love a lot of your courses. And that's why, you know, just personal development is such an important part of my journey, and no doubt many listeners, is because it is important to stretch. It's not easy sometimes, you know, because we see parts that we weren't able to see before. And actually, you know, sometimes it can be a bit jaw dropping or eye opening, but you know, it is a bit of a journey of the brave to go on a path like this. But the words that you said there, which felt really resonant was, you know, it is important to stretch yourself. Even if it's just 1%, just a small amount, you know, what's that one thing that you are desiring to say yes to, but fear is making you say no to? Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a few things we can cover on that. And this topic is so rich. And, you know, as you were saying that you've been with Norbert for over 20 years, was it 20?
I think it's 23. I've lost count.
That's amazing. That is so beautiful. You know, so much richness in relationship conversations there for sure, which I'd love to explore one of the other branches. I might just have to book you in every week for the next 20 years. But going back to this tapping into desire, so that there's different levels, and it's a bit, I guess we can look at it maybe like a ladder. If we look at it like rungs of a ladder, and the old me, I don't know, 10 years ago, wouldn't necessarily have understood this conversation the way that I understand it now somatically, with the actual very felt feelings that I experience when I tap into this desire. But wherever you are on the rung of the ladder, it's just having somewhere to point your arrow, isn't it? So if what we're saying, it feels like it's very, very far away from where you are right now, it's, if it has resonance, it's can be part of the person that you are becoming, your North Star, you're pointing your arrow. What advice would you give to somebody who, say, I don't know, 3 or 4 rungs behind the conversation that we're having here, to help them activate that next level of desire? If they're in, I don't know, let's just use an example, which is a few of my clients, they're in a relationship and the relationship isn't necessarily going particularly well. There is a desire to improve that relationship, but as a result, one of them is completely wrung out like a sponge, eye rolling because doesn't feel held at all. The masculine energy is in people pleasing mode, desperately trying everything he can to make things right, but nothing he's doing seems to be working. Let's say that kind of example, because that's something that I work with quite a lot at the moment. What advice would you give?
Okay.
Again, a big question. Where would you start? What's your next stretch?
So if you think about desires, and this is obviously a relationship example, so this works really beautifully. But if you think about, like, when you desire someone or something, there's that, your attention is outwards, your attention is on them. And if someone is being really needy and wanting you, but it's need, like it's the energy of neediness and not desire, it's actually an ick. Right, it doesn't turn us on. We are not turned on by neediness.
It's repelling.
We're turned on by someone who's turned on themselves. So the advice I would always give to someone is, whatever it is that you want from someone else, your partner, you have to give to yourself first. This is the law of reciprocity. If you want it, you gotta give it to yourself first, and then you give it to them. Right. So I would always say, like, the best place to start, and it doesn't matter what level you're on, because we're constantly sort of falling off the wagon, is to remember, the more that you can live in that state of, I'm turned on by life, I'm flirting with life, my desire, I'm desiring something. Like, can you make yourself desire a cup of tea and a crumpet and be like, oh, that is going to be
stop
the best.
I'd love it.
I know, with the mama. Best cup of tea and buttery crumpet, right? Like, can you get turned on by that idea? You don't need to just save this desire for your financial or your wealth goals or your relationship goals, right? You want to infuse your whole life with desire, right? And start small in terms of, like, playing with what's it like to actually live my desires. And then you get to stretch them. And then you get to, like I said to you, it doesn't matter. Your brain doesn't know. Your mind doesn't know whether the thing that you're desiring is actually possible, or whether or not you're going to, you know, whether or not you need to get it or have to have it. It just knows that you're in a state of desire. And when you're in that state, you are magnetic, right?
Yes.
I'm turned on now talking to you. I'm lit up. It doesn't mean necessarily sexually lit up, although you are absolutely gorgeous, Laura.
But there is that
energy, right? It's like I can feel the life force coming from our interaction, because you've got attention on me and you're listening to me, and I've then got attention on you, and it's this beautiful dance of where is the attention going And then we've created this magical little portal where we get to share our wisdom. I mean, it's like a dream come true, right? This is what we get to do for a living. Oh. Amazing. So,
and I love what you're touching on there. I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to just interject. I really don't like doing that. But I'm just, whilst you're there with that, you know, like this conversation, if you're listening to this and this is inspiring you and it's kind of like you're feeling a spark of life, then, you know, how can we use that then, Naz? And so let's take this into actually using this energy that you and I are experiencing right now, the listeners are experiencing. If it's not necessarily with this, it's the crumpet and the cup of tea, or, you know, listening to a little bit of Madonna or whatever it might be, or going and planting a seed in your garden. You're feeling that desire, right? So you've activated it.
Mm.
Now, using that energy to create, how would you advise to do that?
Okay. So imagine that you've got divining rods. So divining rods is how people find water. It's still unknown how they do this, but the rods sort of cross over. So they're showing where the direction is. So if you use your desire as a bit of a GPS system, it's like, what is it that I want to create, right? Do I want to, like, let's talk about a business thing, because things we're both, have coaching businesses. So do I want to create a new offer? Oh, what would be really juicy? Like, is it going to be this topic or that topic? And just using that level of desire in the body as the indicator for where you want to go, right? This is what Jung says. Libido, life force energy, is what pulls you towards the things. It's your soul pulling you towards what it is that you are here to do and what you're here to create. So if something makes you feel flat, don't do it. Right. If you desire to start a business, but you don't want to ever work on a Friday, don't work on a Friday from the get go. Like, what is it that you really desire? I think so many of us create, they kind of go, right, I know what I desire. And they put that in a box and then they create something completely fucking different.
Yeah.
Like, is that actually what you desire? Like, tap into it. Your body is telling you, it's an instrument. Right? Am I turned on by this idea or not? Is it flat? Is it neutral? Like, it's there for us. But, you know, this is why it's so important, Solara, to first do some of the groundwork to connect you to your body, to desire, right? And usually the side product of living an erotic life is that you do have much better sex with yourself or with your partner or partners, depending on what your choice is, because you're tapped in to erotic life force energy. And then you get to use that, like, you, oh my goodness, yes, your body just, like, it's pulsating with life force energy. You get to create some beautiful work from that, whether you're an artist or a banker, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, I really love that. And again, loads of things are going through my mind. So let's say the lamp is plugged into electricity, which it clearly is now, 100 watt bulb and all of that. If there is something that you want to create, let's just say like what you've been saying, but something specific, whether it is, I don't know, buying a house or manifesting a partner or deepening a relationship, like anything that you want to create and manifest, better health, let's bring that in, because without that, there's nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Is using this switched on desire now and then visualizing that. Visualization, I absolutely love. I don't use it as much as I used to, because I found a lot of stuff now is more effortless and just kind of comes more naturally, more easily, the more I've let go of pushing and forcing, if you like. But let's just say it switched on. Now, is this a good time then to either, you know, close your eyes, not if you're driving, of course, but to get into the energy of that. So if it is the house, like, what does it feel like lying on the sofa in your beautiful new home where you've chosen the thick pile carpets and you can smell the fresh paint and you're lying there looking, thinking, wow, like, I've done it. I'm here. This is amazing. And getting yourself from a feeling perspective, all your senses, what can you smell? What can you hear? What can you taste? What can you touch? That would then, in my mind, and how I've used it before, but be interested to know your take on it, kind of accelerate that, would you say?
Yes. And we call that feelization, and only because I can't visualize. So if there's anyone listening out there who has, like, you know, Solara's walking you through that and you're like, I can't see a house. I can smell the paint. Usually we can bring in our senses really strongly. So that's what I would say. is to dial those up. But it is, of course, really important to imagine that. And then from that place, it's like, what will move the needle? What's one little thing that you could do today to move the needle? It's going to take it out of the realms of possibility and into the realms of desire. Because there's an arc, right? There's an arc of bringing something into creation. So deliberate creation, manifestation, everything starts as pure potential. It doesn't exist yet, but there's the potential, right? Particles have got superposition. So a particle could be anything. Is there like vibrating, pulsating in a state that means it could be anything? And it's only when you form an idea that that starts to take shape and that particle can come into a more of a definite state. So we're talking about quantum physics here, but we're also talking about how you manifest a house is the same way that you bake a cake. Okay, let me give you this example. If you decide one day, I really fancy baking a cake. What kind of cake? You're going to imagine the cake. Is it going to be carrot cake or chocolate cake? You're going to taste it, right? You're going to have that fantasy in the same way that you described having the house. And then you're going to get the ingredients together, and then you're going to pull the recipe together. You're going to stick it in the oven, and voila, 45 minutes later, an hour later, you know, we've all had baking disasters, but usually what's going to turn out is going to be a cake. And somehow along the way, people think that manifestation of a house is any different, or anything that you want is any different. It's not. You have an idea. You start to pull everything together. It's just that the house is a long-term deliberate like process of deliberate creation. And all along the way, you get to bring in your senses. Like you can celebrate the joy in the process along the way. So you every little milestone is like, yes, we're one step closer. Right, the cake's nearly done. I can smell it. I can smell the vanilla and the chocolate. It smells delicious. In the same way that you get to start to picture things and I'm buying a house in South Africa. So I'm doing exactly what you've said. I'm imagining it and I've got Pinterest boards and I've got like, what's the garden going to look like and what the tile's going to be and actually starting to pull that together. I'm not just sat there imagining, right? Which I know that you are so skilled at teaching, but I think that's where if anyone is listening that doesn't sort of believe in manifestation, it's like it's not magic, it's magical because you're taking an idea and you're bringing it into matter, into reality, but it's a process. We live in a quantum world. There's nothing magical about it, as in I mean I like the idea of magic, so I'm a little bit woo, but it's based in science. So the more people we can get onto this track, the more people can have what they desire. It's designed, this universe is designed for us to have our desires. We just got to know how to punch the numbers in.
I love that. Punch the numbers. I really love that. So again, there's a few bits coming up here. I love what you were saying there about quantum physics, by the way. That's kind of like the double slit experiment, which I've heard about. And yeah, so like all particles are completely neutral until that attention was focused upon them, and then that's when they started to change. So exactly. We literally have the ability to bring to change matter by focusing on it. And
so, but if your idea just stays an idea, it's not going to not going to take shape. There's got to be intention, action, consciousness will collapse that particle into a definite state. It's the same with anything that we want to desire.
And I think you need to be an active participant is what I'm hearing.
Yes. And you need to be consistent. I think here's the thing, perhaps, Solara, that's really interesting from a female lens, is that we know how important it is to be consistent in your energy when you're aligning to what it is that you desire, right? Yes, you want to align to it. You want to feel into it. You want to visualize it. You want to feel as if it's already here and keep that consistent energy in alignment and take consistent action. But as women, we also have this patriarchal conditioning that tells us that we're bad if we have desires. We're selfish to want anything extra. Mm. We are lazy if we want to rest, right? How dare we want something to be easy and joyful? So we have all of this patriarchal conditioning that I think kind of keeps knocking us back into those old vibrations. So that's why I think it feels such hard work for us as women sometimes, because we're battling with self-worth and permission. Can I really have this? Am I allowed to have this? It's so fucking frustrating and nuanced and layered. And this is what I've come up against in my own deliberate creation. And it's this like, okay, I've got to work deeply to unpack that.
Yeah. And then just when you kind of reach a level, you realize that there's another 10 boxes to unpack. But it's actually, even though it can be challenging, I really enjoy the journey. The highs, the lows, the bits in between, you know, it's not easy, especially as you're kind of moving up the rungs of the ladder. There's always a shedding, and those sheddings can be super painful. Definitely worth it. But just what you're saying here is me wanting to almost give like a step-by-step formula, which obviously is fluid and depending on a lot of factors. But ideally, we want to find ways to turn ourselves on, whether it's the crumpet, whether it's dancing. Before we came on this call today, I put on some lounge music and I was singing away, having a lovely time. Music turns me on. Gardening turns me on. Watching the birds and feeding the badgers. Whatever turns you on, like what are the things that turn you on? Become familiar with that. If you can tap into the exercise we were speaking about at the beginning, that raw desire, just let yourself just be what you think might be a little bit naughty and tap into some of your wild fantasies and just notice what happens and just play with the energy, I guess, of, you know, like how you can experience that desire in your body. Then would you say it's like getting clear on a desire? So we're talking about the quantum physics and the particles. You want to be able to focus on those particles and almost show them a picture of creation, I guess, in some respects. As you're focusing and you're aiming that arrow, you can, like your house, for example, you can, and if you can't visualize, which I know a lot of people that can't in that same way, so we're blessed with other superpowers of being able to feel, et cetera, but that's when Pinterest boards are great, right? Because you can get an idea visually of what that would look like, so you can then experience it more from a feeling perspective. But this is the active participation part, and this is something that I've always done, and I know that it's an important requirement of it, but we do need to keep mentioning it. You have to take some kind of action, whether that action is a physical action like the Pinterest board or going and looking at properties in South Africa or whatever it might be, but also taking action of shifting and healing. And what is it that's stopping me from reaching that deeper state of desire? What conditioning, what program, what healing, what is stopping that next level coming into fruition? So it does mean going on a deeper inner journey of self too. So if this has spoken to you and you want to explore Naz and her amazing courses, please, I invite you to, if you want to have a conversation with me around it, Naz and I will point you in whatever direction we feel is right for you, to whomever we will feel is right. The most important thing is making that call and taking that action. And then once you kind of almost like, I don't know, it's almost like a bit of a pit stop, isn't it? You do the work and you rumble and tumble with yourself a little bit, or you stretch yourself and put new structures in place if we're talking more practically. That's when it's almost like you shift that 1%, because if your desires, let's say, are, I don't know, for those of you who are just listening, I'm just holding my hand out to the right, but you're pointing to the left, you're completely misaligned. So how can you take one action that's slowly going to realign you to your and just keep doing that?
Yeah, that's a really good question to ask, Solara, is if I couldn't fail, what action would I take? And sometimes that opens you up to something that might feel really scary, but you know you need to do. And there is a brilliant book called The Obstacle is the Way. And if you want to, the people who manifest things quickly and collapse time, they just go for the obstacle. They just know what it is that they need to do. It's not that they're being risky, right? It's not about risk, but it can feel like, oh my God, that thing, I've got to put myself out there. I've got to be visible. I've got to have that conversation with someone. If you truly sort of back yourself, what action would you take, right? Not from a place of fear or scarcity, but from a place of, no, this is what my intuition is telling me to do. It can be very, very telling. And sometimes it feels too big a leap. And other times it's like, okay, I'm going to break that down and I'm going to take it in stages. But essentially, the more practiced you get, the bigger those steps get to be. And then your deliberate creation becomes a little bit quicker. And then you feel like things are flowing and happening at a speed which you're like, oh, this is amazing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely start seeing evidence of that as well, don't you? So I like that. So if I knew I couldn't fail, what action would I take? And also, I guess another way of asking that same question, if I knew I would succeed,
yeah,
what action would I take? You know, I guess, I don't know. I don't even know what that came into my head. But I love those questions because I think that those are super, super important because it's the fear of failure. It's that fear of not being good enough. It's fear of what people might think, which is massive for those anyway, let alone with that kind of imposter syndrome type thing, which I think I'm going to probably need to do an episode on that at some point. So it's not that we're trying to give you like a rigid formula, but those are steps that we have noticed that are helpful and work. What happens in between all of those? It depends on what the obstacle might be. And I love that book, by the way. It's one of my favorite books. So, for example, I noticed I had a massive bubbling and boiling furball, if you like, of grief earlier part of this year. And it was massive. And it was built, no doubt, of many, 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 many years. And I took myself through a very, very empowering process, which took a good 8 hours. And I sobbed and I cried and I screamed and all the good stuff in between. And although that was difficult to go through, the relief that I felt beyond that and the pivot, that 1% shift, has been absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. So we're here to inspire you. If you're listening to this, it means you want to activate those desires. The universe always brings us the information we need at exactly the right time. And Naz, if any of the listeners wanted to get hold of you, you've got a podcast as well, haven't you?
We do. So my company with Rachel is called Women Are the Medicine, and we also have a podcast. And Rachel writes on Substack. So we have a Substack, which is, you know, depending on what you might enjoy, Substack is where we write about the systemic conditioning, patriarchy, the patterns that women hold. So it's really interesting reading. It's quite deep material. And then we have, you know, you can contact us through our Instagram. I know you're going to put on the show notes, but we've got various, we've got a business offer, mastermind and one-to-one coaching. We also have a microdosing offer. So microdoses being taking tiny amounts of psychedelics to help with neuroplasticity, to make your brain more malleable, helps to uproot some of those deep conditioned patterns. So we have a number of different offers, but generally, if someone's interested, they can just reach out and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, that's great. Now, the microdosing side of things, it literally saves years and years in intense therapy. It's absolutely fantastic, been a massive game changer. And you introduced me to that a couple of years ago now. I can't quite remember. Everything's molding into one at the moment.
I know. We've had so many connections.
Yes, we have, haven't we? And it's all been beautiful. Thank you so much for your wisdom and coming on and sharing it with everybody today.
Thank you, Salara, really for inviting me. I've really enjoyed it. I love speaking with you anyway, and I love that you dive into our containers and you're always just, I love watching the transformation. You're an inspiration. So keep doing what you're doing, my darling.
Thank you for being my guiding light, my darling. I was talking about you on one of my courses. I'm doing an in-person course at the moment. And I was explaining about the ladder. And I said, we've got women who are either 2 or 3 or 10 steps above. And they share their light and they share their wisdom and their information. And I mentioned you as my light above. And, you know, this is where I'm on this rung of the ladder. And if you feel that I've reached somewhere where you haven't got yet, I'm sharing my light down with you. And that's what we're meant to do. But women have been conditioned for competition and, yeah, you know, like all sorts of different things, which we won't go into. But, you know, that's, I just want to say again, thank you, because it's not just the work that you've done for me that has then helped other people on the rungs of the ladder, but no doubt for every heart that you touch, you and Rach touch. So thank you.
Thank you. That's our aim, is to help women be the medicine for themselves, each other and the world. That's literally what we're here to do. So if we can support other women to have impact like you're doing with all of your amazing clients and audience, then that's just the cherry on the cake for us.
Collectively, we're helping, aren't we? All right, my darling. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody, and we'll be back at the same time next week. Bye for now.